Hello and welcome to Eden Exchanges, the business journey podcast by Eden Exchange. My name is Brianna and I'm a marketing specialist here at Eden Exchange. Today we spoke to Paul Godden, who is the franchise manager of Simply Helping. Listen as Paul discusses Simply Helping's market advantage with their NDIS approved services, their phenomenal growth in the aged care industry, and how they're well positioned for changes in the market. We'll discuss the driving forces behind their success, how they've adapted post-COVID, and what makes them stand out in the industry. Listen on to discover more.
Welcome everyone, my name is Raghu from Eden Exchange. Look, excited today, our special guest is Paul Godden, the franchise manager of Simply Helping. Thanks for joining us today.
My absolute pleasure.
Now, Paul, look, we've had a long association, but I'm really, really interested in hearing your thoughts, opinions today about what's going on in the industry as well as Simply Helping. But can you tell us first about your background and how you first became involved with Simply Helping and what's your current role there?
My current role is franchise manager for the group. So National Franchise Manager is my official title. What I do is I make sure that the appropriate interested parties become part of our franchise network. The industry is so highly regulated, it's absolutely paramount that we have the right caliber of person to join our team and expand our delivery to the community. My background is really more specialist in the franchising world. I'm a franchisee experienced person. I've been a franchise network, or a number of franchise networks, but also my background's IT as well and accounting. So I come with a very diverse range of skills. I've actually run my own business quite successfully for a number of years. So I've had that experience of being on the other side, if you like, or the other part of the franchise environment. And I know that the National Office team exhibits a lot of professionalism in their particular areas, whether it be human resource, whether it be quality management, whether it be policy control, the whole box and dice. So we have a very good collective skill set. And we know, and confident without sounding arrogant, we can help businesses thrive in our industry and with the individuals realising what they want to achieve.
Look, there's a very illustrious founding team behind Simply Helping.
Indeed.
With a lot of experience and a lot of influence in the market. Can you tell me a little bit about that story, how Simply Helping got to where it is now?
Yeah, I mean, the whole premise behind Simply Helping is Angela Ferrier Richards, who's the founder, CEO, and still works within the business even after 25 years. Her passion, her drive, she comes from the medical background. She comes from the hospital area out in rural Victoria. The fact that she has the drive, even 25 years later, she's there. She understands the business. She understands the nuances of opening up a business. That passion and drive instills the framework, but also instills everybody that works underneath in that framework.
All right, fantastic. Now, take a step back. Can you tell us a little bit about Simply Helping?
Mm-hmm.
What sort of products does it service and what does the business offer that sort of differentiates it from other organisations?
Yeah, well, basically Simply Helping is in-home community service provider. So what we do is we specialise on the core function of providing support workers to those people that are vulnerable that need our supports. We provide services to the NDIS, which is National Disability Insurance Scheme, as well as within the aged care sector, both as some of our franchisees are approved providers in the aged care sector and others will become approved providers once that's opened up to the marketplace.
Fantastic. Now, you mentioned just at the start of the interview about regulation.
Yes.
And you also touched on the NDIS there.
Absolutely.
Now, that's also due to the compliance issues and how much regulation hurdles there may be. It is a differentiation.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, Simply Helping position ourselves as a premier provider. And accordingly, we actually mandate that all of our franchise businesses are approved NDIS providers. Now, that's a heavy lift for some, but it does set it apart from a lot of our opposition because we are approved. We are ratified by the NDIS as being an appropriate and professional service provider. And yes, we follow all the rules. It's as simple as that.
Excellent. Really apt right now, considering what's going on.
Very much so. There is a lot of change within the NDIS space. I mean, the argument is simply this. These vulnerable people need support. It's a person-centred approach, which is their mantle, and therefore regulation is absolutely pivotal to make sure they get safe and secure services accordingly.
Yeah, sure, and it's very similar to other industries that whenever these sort of situations, the better appropriate providers have actually done the work to get it done by the book are the ones that are going to stand out.
Absolutely.
You can almost make the analogy what may have happened in other industries as well. That may happen.
Yeah.
But you're also well positioned, possibly, if there's something like that does occur in terms of regulation changes or some issues surrounding compliance.
Yeah, there's been a lot of commentary in the media. There's been a lot, obviously, the Royal Commissions, both in disability and aged care, has really influenced regulatory change to the better, I would say, but tougher for the providers. So being a large franchise as we are adept. We know the business. We understand what is required, and therefore we can guide any franchisee accordingly on changes as it evolves, because it is a very fluid marketplace. But on the same token, we're very regimented on how we deliver our services in a consistent and appropriate methodology.
Absolutely. So you mentioned it's large, but how's the business grown since it first began? And what are some milestones the brand has achieved?
Well, we're very, very proud of the fact that this is our 25th anniversary. So we've been in the NDIS and aged care arena for the last 25 years. There's very few providers in the marketplace that can attest to that. Our growth has been phenomenal. And the reason being is that there is much larger population density that requires services in home. Without a doubt, COVID panicked a lot of people, particularly in the aged care sector. And therefore, now also there's a better understanding about what supports can be realised in the home of the individual rather than putting them into a facility or what we call an SDA, which is specialist disability accommodation. And we're finding more and more that even private citizens requesting services from us in regards to daily personal activities, it can be also, you know, community access. It can be a number of different elements that we provision as our core business.
And apart from NDIS, I mean, what are some of the trends you think that are driving this?
I think it's actually education from the community. There is a lot of people now realising that they actually can get support, and it doesn't have to be total support. It can be just what we call acute support. It could be just once a week. Somebody comes in and cleans their home, or once a week they walk their dog, or whatever the case may be. And I think also the funding agencies are really realising that some of the disability is not that obvious. That obviously mental health is a big one. Yeah, people talk about the ICE epidemic and they talk about COVID, but the reality is there's a lot of people out there hurting and they need our support.
Yep. And is it also matched by, you know, an older population?
Yep.
More trends towards people to stay at home. How did COVID shift or change the way you operate, or how did that shift demand?
I think it really focused the fact that I don't want to be put into an aged care facility. I don't want to be put into a special accommodation. I want to stay at home. However, the people, the carers, what we call the informal carers, the family, the mother, the father, what have you, realise that there's actually support services funded for them as well. So we're finding more and more the education pieces going out there, and therefore, to be honest, more inbound inquiry for our services, you know, specifically for in-home supports, which is what we do.
Fantastic. Now, can you describe, say, the day-to-day activity or an average Simply Helping franchisee?
Sure. Well, basically, they usually have a workforce anywhere between 50 and 100 carers. They're going out there from a rostered viewpoint, whereby they're literally going out to service an individual that needs the support. It could be anything from showering the first thing in the morning through to cleaning their home, through to walking their dog, through to taking them out to a cafe for a coffee, for a respite, whatever the case may be. So we actually cater our workforce to be suitably qualified and competent to support the person of the tasks that they need at the time they need it.
Fantastic. Now, very, very good. Now, what are some of the considerations a franchisee or a potential franchisee should look at before looking at becoming part of the Simply Helping network?
Yeah, one of my core functions is to ensure that any prospective franchisee understands what that means. And it's got to be right for them. It's all very well to say it's right for us. Mm. It's got to be right for them as well. Because being involved in a franchise is different to being independent. Mm. However, that is one of the benefits of somebody who wants to run a business but may not have the industry experience or may not have extensive business experience. We have the infrastructure in place to help establish, guide, and grow their business with them in concert. But they've got to be able to prove to us they're a good corporate citizen and they're prepared to maintain their corporate citizenship.
Sure. And look, very good. Now, what do you think are some of the characteristics or attributes that would make for a good franchisee?
They got to have a heart.
Yeah. Okay.
Day by day, they're dealing with people that are vulnerable. They're dealing with people with issues, with problems, with scenarios that they need assistance. And therefore, they've got to have that natural propensity to help somebody who's in need. on the same token, they've got a workforce that are also very passionate people, and they've got to be very open and transparent with their team, their workforce, if you like, and help them with their issues. Let's be honest, as a support worker, it's not an easy job. It's very confronting at times. It's very compelling as far as heart. They get literally physically and emotionally connected with these clients. It's part of their family almost. And therefore, that a good franchisee needs to have that empathy, that understanding of what the world we live in. It's not selling a pencil or a pen. It's actually helping somebody who can't do it for themselves.
It's fascinating because the type of person that can do well potentially has a mixture of, you know, a commercial mindset, sure, a growth mindset, but also that passion to help the community grow their network and help their service providers or their support workers as sure well. So it's an interesting type of mix you're looking for there.
Yeah, it is unique. I mean, the reality is we can actually augment that any lacking skills, but at the end of the day, we can't teach them to have a heart. But on the same token, it is a business. So we sometimes get interested parties that are all about helping the community, but not actually understanding how that can crystallize into a very effective business that not only is viable for them personally, but also their workforce are fully and gainfully employed. Sure. And that's part of the puzzle here. So it's really somebody that has that scope to either learn or naturally have the empathy and the understanding of the industry we are in.
Absolutely. And if you find someone with that empathy and natural, you know, commercial nose, what sort of training or what sort of programs do you offer to get them up to speed and ongoing training as well?
Well, part of our process at the get-go is to understand or profile what their skill set is. So we actually do some rudimentary profiling and find out what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are so we can cater for that. Once they get through that process and they become a franchisee, we now have a three-month induction program whereby my role is their silent business partner, so we help with industry experience, but they also get buddied up with other franchisees who have been there, done that too, to give them some real-world experience. So that three-month induction program is quite extensive. They can still trade during that program. However, we enable them to really properly structure their business to future-proof their existence in the agreement.
What do you really think Simply Helping franchisees love about the network? And any good examples of success you could enlighten us with?
They like the opportunity to be able to ask questions of things that they don't fully understand or they don't know how to implement. Given that we provide a framework that is A, compliant, B, savvy to the current environmental area, a franchisee can run their own independent business, but with the security that we have their back, if you like. That when, for argument's sake, every time they're audited by an external party, there is a representative from the franchising group in attendance to support them in getting through that audit process. There's also a whole lot of preparation work that we do prior to make sure they pass. Let's be blunt. So the reality is they're not on their own. They've got a very large national office behind them. They've got a franchise network to be able to liaise and collaborate with. And therefore, a lot of people are very nervous about starting a business in the industry because they don't have that normally. We provide the whole solution. And a testament to that is a lot of our new franchisees, we conservatively plan their growth, and yet most of the time they exceed it. But again, it depends on their own skill set, their own abilities, their own preparation, their own preparedness to engage what we provide them.
And how long does it usually take for someone to get up to speed? You know, the business systems, the industry knowledge, the recruitment processes to the point where they're, you know, having a very good business?
They are ready to go from day one from a viewpoint of the rudimentary understanding, but the learning takes 12 months, sure, let us be blunt. And that's where we become pivotal as a national office presence, Simply Helping franchising. So that we sort of, without being too basic, we've been there, done that. So we almost foretell what they're going to be hitting in stages. My role in particular is to identify where they're at, how they're feeling. You know, are they going through a little bit of remorse, which is natural human instinct? Are they going through excitedness but have no idea how to recruit somebody? You know, all those sort of facets come into play. But typically, within 12 months, they've got a fairly reasonable business and they're growing.
Sure. Also, these can be quite lucrative. So where are there any particular areas or parts of Australia or the world that you're heading to now to grow this system?
We're certainly getting a lot of inquiry now from New South Wales,
yep,
and from WA. And we find there's a lot of interest by external parties to support rural areas, the country areas, whereby the supports aren't necessarily on offer or available to them. So we find that even though we were based in Victoria and started in Victoria, we're growing now extensively throughout New South Wales, Queensland and WA. And we know that to be a truly national organisation, we really want to attract people from South Australia, Tasmania and all the states to be able to really deliver what we know to do so well.
For Simply Helping, are there any key milestones you're really trying to tick off now as you grow the business?
Yeah, we want to be able to influence the marketplace that our premier service has its place and that it's viable.
Yeah.
There are a lot of small businesses out there that are going to be put under a lot of pressure due to the changes in the environment, the obvious improvements, I would say, in the NDIS ideology as well as the aged care ideology. I think it's pivotal and they'll understand very quickly that if they don't have a strong background framework, they're going to be challenged without a doubt. And at the end of the day, we've got to make sure vulnerable people get safe services. That's the bottom line.
And there's a lot weighing on having the right people doing this.
Oh, it is. I mean,
you could say it's life and death.
Absolutely, it's life and death, yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, our support network are very highly credentialed. We go over the top in regards to their credential, whether it be certified, obviously, in that particular space, but also ratified as far as police checks and working with children's checks and so forth, so that, again, it's that good citizenship, but it's also our services are provided in a safe environment.
Cool. All right. Now, what's the best advice you'd offer someone thinking about taking the plunge or finding out about Simply Helping? And what are your stages of guiding that right person into that clear decision, and how do they get in touch with you as well?
I think people that are aware of their own skill set and understand what they're missing and then have the conversation with myself and my teams to be able to understand how we can augment that. You don't have to be perfect in every element to be successful in our business. We'll teach you that. We'll teach you what your gaps are. But also have the confidence that what they're doing, they've got to have a community spirit about them. And they've got to understand that it's not necessarily all about ROI or return on investment. It's also about building up that platform. The ROI will come. There's no doubt about that. We've proven that time and time again. It's a matter of saying, okay, what do I need to do to establish a good platform to launch from? So the conversations that I have with each prospective and new franchisee is a long-term conversation. It's not just here you go, here's 2 weeks of training. Go for your life. Good luck.
Yeah.
It's not about that. It's about us working in collaboration with that partner, go forward and create a good business, but also a quality service.
And what's driving you to do what you're doing, Paul? What's getting you out of bed in the morning?
I help nearly 5,000 to 6,000 people every day get them what they deserve. I'm very passionate about the business because I know that it's a premier service, but I'm also passionate about giving back to the community. And this is my way. If I can use my skill set to enable others who are better than me or maybe more intelligent than me or more experienced than me to deliver services to vulnerable people, I love it. Absolutely love it.
All right. Now, if you're thinking about inquiring about a Simply Helping business, of course you can start the journey straight away. You can put your name down, get the details. But what do you use to really determine if someone's a serious candidate?
For all candidates that we believe have the rudimentary skills that are required, we actually issue an expression of interest form. That form is not designed just to evaluate them, but it's also to enable us to better help them on the journey. I would recommend to everybody they really be honest and transparent of the content and return that form so that we can actually talk at a very high level but specific to their particular needs. Because at the end of the day, it's not about what we want exclusively, it's about what they want. And if I have a good understanding of what they want and that expression of interest form will actually expand on that, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a good lesson to, even to our marketplace. If you're trying to really to get to that business opportunity of your choice or your dreams, you really got to try and take part wholeheartedly in all of the requirements that franchise is looking for.
Indeed.
So you want to be taken seriously, they'll take you seriously.
Correct.
So it's a bit of both. All right. Now, fantastic stuff. Look, we will have some contact us options buttons near this podcast. So we do encourage anyone interested to pop your name down and realistically, one of the team will be in touch with you ASAP to begin your journey with Simply Helping and potentially intro you to Paul to try and find out more about the business. Now, Paul, in terms of your next steps with Simply Helping, where do you think or how big do you think your network could get?
The reality is there is a need throughout Australia. We've realised a lot of areas but there are a lot of segments that need extra supports.
Yeah.
We have a number of territories available to those, the right people, whether it be rural-based or whether it be metro-based. But for us, it's about the right person because it's a long-term relationship. It can be up to 15 years in duration. It could be as short as 5 years. So for us, it's important that we understand that there is a relationship that can be forged and maintained. In regards to interested parties, that's the conversation we have at the very get-go. You know, to be blunt, one of my first questions is, what's your exit strategy? Think about the end game. Think about the starting point. From that, we can frame a very good relationship. So the sky's the limit as far as we're concerned. We've got a number of territories all over the place that's available. We have certain areas within Melbourne and Sydney that we'd like to focus on because they are literally needing our supports. So, yeah.
It's really interesting because one of the areas we also focus heavily on is once a franchisee we present goes through that journey, they're already thinking about that exit strategy. And that could be, you know, 10 years away. But do you have like a timeline realistically, or it varies depending on the age of that person?
It depends on the age and depends on what the requirement. I mean, the reality is as a franchisee, it's their business under the framework. So therefore, there might be individuals that will want to get out in 5 years. There are those that don't want to get out. I know there are quite a few of our franchisees that have it as part of their superannuation or granting to a family member. It doesn't matter to us as long as, again, that person or that exit strategy has the right caliber to continue the brand, to continue the services. So the exit strategy is very important. And I think, you know, business 101, you've got to understand where you're going before you can actually even start on that pathway.
And that's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us, Paul. It was a pleasure learning about Simply Helping and your franchising opportunities. Now, for anyone listening to this podcast who would like to know more about this opportunity or kickstart the franchise process, just click the button below to submit your interest, and the team at Eden Exchange will get in touch as soon as possible and set you on your franchise journey. For more opportunities like this one, head to our website and check out the latest franchises and businesses for sale. Eden Exchanges is brought to you by the team at Eden Exchange. In this episode, we spoke to Paul, who is the franchise manager of Simply Helping. To find out more about Paul and the Simply Helping franchise, or to discover other episodes by Eden Exchanges, head to our website, www.edenexchange.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Eden Exchange for the latest updates, news and opportunities, and Australia's trusted business marketplace. Thanks for listening.